Hello and welcome to another Ars Blog Arscast on arsblog.com in association, as always, with www.oleole.com, the football community website. Coming up on this week's show, we have got for you the usual stuff. The man in the bar is here with a player history. Ebue is here. We've got the culture corner, and we'll be getting an Italian perspective on Arsenal's performance in the San Siro on Tuesday night. So let us look back on what's happened between the last Arscast and this Arscast. Well, last Saturday against Aston Villa was the day everybody kind of thought we were going to have this reaction to what happened against Birmingham, the disappointment of the last-minute equaliser for them, and of course Eduardo's injury and the trauma and emotion that all that caused. Didn't quite turn out that way, unfortunately. As a performance, as a team performance, it was pretty poor. Manuel Almunia was certainly the busier of the goalkeepers, but at the end of the day, it was only a Philippe Senderos own goal that put Villa ahead, and it did look as if we were going to drop all 3 points right until the very last minute of injury time when Adebayor cushioned down the header to Nicholas Bentner to score another vital goal. The winner against Spurs, and now this late equaliser. 1-1, maybe a little more than we deserved on the day, but you'll take it. It kept us top of the table, and although it was obviously very disappointing to lose 2 points, you just don't know how valuable that 1 point could be come the end of the season. So with that performance behind us, it was a little bit, I don't know, nail-biting, I suppose, going to Milan, going to play the holders of the Champions League in a stadium where they'd never lost to English opposition. Of course, we didn't have to win. Score draw would have seen us through on the away goals rule, but as we all know by now, it turned out to be an awful lot better than that. Bar, I suppose, a 15-minute spell in the first half when they were a little bit dangerous, a little bit threatening, we pretty much controlled the entire game, which is a remarkable achievement, a great performance. Obviously, as I said on the blog, and as has been said pretty much all over the place, it was in midfield that it was won. Fabregas and Flamini absolutely outstanding, along with Hleb. I thought the back four were all really, really solid. Almunia did well. Diaby all right. Adebayor caused them problems up front, and he got off the mark, of course, with the goal that sealed the game late on after some really good work from Theo Walcott. Cesc Fabregas, though, was the one who put us ahead with the goal, I suppose, about 6 or 7 minutes to go. Took the ball in midfield, went past Gattuso, I think it was, and hit a shot, I suppose, had it been the other way around. And that kind of a shot, from that distance gone in against Almunia, I'm not sure we would all have been terribly happy with Almunia, I have to say. But not that I'm complaining at all, I'm just saying. And obviously the goal meant a huge amount to him. You could see the reaction. He didn't know whether to smile or cry or what to do. He ran over and had a big hug with Arsene Wenger. And it really was the kind of performance from a young man of 20 years of age who was just getting better and better and better. I made allusions to the Juventus game a couple of seasons ago when Paddy came back, Vieira came back, and he was pitched against Fabregas, who was this young up-and-comer who'd taken his place in the team. And Fabregas stole the show that night. He stole the show on Tuesday night as well. And he's the type of player now that's winning games. Not only is he a very, very talented footballer, but when it comes to big games, he's in there and he's scoring goals and he's making things happen. And at 20 years of age, it's just remarkable what he can do. I think it's fantastic. That's not to take away from the team performance, though, because as a team performance, it was as good as we've seen from Arsenal in quite some time. We don't really want to talk about them coming of age and becoming men and all that sort of stuff. This is only putting us into the quarterfinals. There's a long way to go in this competition and a long way to go, obviously, in the league as well. But what we can do is take a great deal of confidence and a great deal of belief out of Tuesday night's result. The results in the league of late have been a little bit dodgy, and maybe we can use this to kick on. Very often a result like this can really kick your season on. At the same time, though, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we've just got to take it one game at a time. Yes, I know it's a cliche, but it is true. Wigan on Sunday is like chalk and cheese. A San Siro on Tuesday against Milan, and then the JJB on Sunday against Wigan. So the focus has to be there right from the start on Sunday, and we can't get too carried away with ourselves. Going back to Tuesday night, though, with me to talk about the Italian reaction and what an Italian thought of what happened on Tuesday night is OleOle.com's Gabrielle Porri. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Now, we saw Arsenal go to the San Siro on Tuesday night and put in the kind of performance that Arsenal fans have been drooling over ever since. It was very much a case of young legs versus old legs on that pitch. Do you think that was a factor, the fact that Arsenal were such a young team against maybe the older men of AC Milan?
Well, I would say yes and no. No, because I think that AC Milan lost because Kaká, Pirlo and Paso played badly. Because Champions League experience is very important, but it's also very important that your key players, lead you to the victory. And everybody expected these three players to be the leaders, and so instead of that, you saw Pirlo missing a lot of passes, Kaká not so fast as he was, and Pato inconsistent, of course. Also, Arsenal players had a lot of impact on this, but I think that it's not just a question of age. Of course, then, you know, journalism say this, but and of course it's important, but in my opinion, I think that the reason is that Arsenal played very well and that AC Milan played badly in these three players.
Was that a surprise to you, the way that AC Milan played?
Well, in the recent past, especially, of course, Pato was not in AC Milan, but the other players I mentioned were there, they never missed important games. So I thought that after they drew a game, they deserved to lose with, I think, at least two goals of difference. I'm talking about the Emirates Stadium game. I thought that they could make it. But after first half, when I saw these players were playing very badly, especially Pirlo, really impressed me in negative. I thought that it was going to be very difficult for them. But you know, you always have to think that someone in Italy say AC Milan in this game is lucky. And when I saw Cesc Fabregas hit in the bar in the first half, I thought maybe they will find a strange goal 1 minute before the end.
Yeah, I was afraid of that as well, I have to say. What was the reaction like in terms of the press in Italy? Was there more focus on Arsenal's good performance or Milan's bad performance?
No, I think that it was most focused on Arsenal's good performance. They all were very impressed about that. And I think they were sure that AC Milan could make it, so this grew their impression on Arsenal, you know. But everybody that follows English football knows that it was very difficult for AC Milan. After that, they of course focused on AC Milan's defeat, saying that maybe, you know, winning cycle has ended, and of course focused on the difference on the average age of the players. I think that journalists didn't want to be too hard to AC Milan. They didn't say what I said 5 minutes before about some key players' bad game. Mm-hmm. But of course, they are not saying they're saying the truth when they say that Arsenal played very bad. Played very well. Now the AC Milan, of course, has to be in the top four in Serie A. Otherwise, but you know what they said? Now we are world champions. So they always have to find, you know, something good also in bad moments.
A positive outlook.
Yeah. Because of course, and now their chairman Berlusconi is candidate in the elections.
Oh, then they can start winning again. Yeah.
Yeah, so but anyway, you know, they started saying, oh, we lost, we are out. But he came into the dressing room and said to us, he was, you know, proud of us, and blah blah blah. Just to just to give a positive message also from him. But I think that is because he is candidate in April, in 1 month. I think he was angry, like all other AC Milan fans.
I suspect so. Gabriel, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to
Arsene. You're welcome.
Thank you very much to Gabriel. And if you are a fan of Italian football, you want to listen to this guy. He knows everything about Italian football. You can hear him on the Weekend Football podcast on oleole.com on a weekly basis. He's just finished writing a book about Inter Milan, the 100 greatest games of Inter Milan as well. So do check that out. The Weekend Football on www.oleole.com. Now, coming up still, we've got Abue, we've got the Culture Corner. Right now, though, I suppose we'll go to the man in the bar, will we? Yes, why not? He's got a player history.
Hello there, Jurgen. Now it's time for another player history on the Arscast. What about that old game on Tuesday night? What? Oh, that was something else, wasn't it? I tell you, I nearly wet myself. If I had any control over my bladder at all, I would have. But Jesus knows when it comes out. Feels like it wants to, and then I stand there in front of the toilet for ages and ages, and nothing happens. Then I go back and sit down. I have to get up again and go again, and nothing happens. And the same thing happens all night long. I get up out of bed and need to wee. And what happens? Nothing. Go back to bed. Then you have to wee. Then you get out of bed, go to the toilet. What happens? Nothing. Then you go back to bed. You get up out of bed again. You need to wee. What happens? Nothing. Eventually, you get out of bed. You go to the toilet. What happens? Nothing. And then you get up again and you get the picture anyway. Well, it was a bit like that the other night. Arsenal were like my bladder, sort of. And the AC Milan goal was like the toilet, if you get me picture. We get there, nothing. Then we have to go back again. We get there, nothing. But eventually, Cesc Fabregas was the stream of urine that broke through the AC Milan defence. Oh, it was marvellous. So it was, I enjoyed it, even though we had to watch with Italian Joe. Now, he's an Inter Milan fan, so he was quite happy. And he was up for the arse and everything. The problem is, you see, he smells like socks. Not like normal socks, somebody else's socks. Satan's socks, for example. Satan's socks that have just been used to wipe Hellraiser's arse. That's how bad they are. Anyway, 'twas a small price to pay for the result that was in it. Anyway, I suppose I better get on with the old player history, shouldn't I? Today we're talking about a fella who nearly has a girl's name. It's nearly called Sylvia, but it's not. It's Sylvain. And he's Sylvain. I bet he thinks this player history is about him. Sylvain Wiltord. That's the fella, the guy with the funny head, the guy who went around in circles. He joined Arsenal, having gone on strike, you see, at Bordeaux. I didn't like that. Don't like fellas that go on strike. Coal miners and doctors and other strikey people. I don't like them. You should be allowed to shoot them. That's what I think. Anyway, £13 million he cost Arsenal. Can you believe that's a lot of money? Even now, that would be a lot of money. But sure, Jesus, them were the prices everybody was paying back then. And he came into the team and he, you know, did a bit of stuff and did a bit of other stuff and scored a few goals. And then his best moment was in that game against Manchester United. Scored the goal that won us the league at Old Trafford. Oh, Jesus, that was marvellous. But even then, you know, you started going out, you fucking Wiltord again. Yeah. One of those fellas you could never really warm to, I have to say. Spent his last season injured. And then fucked off to Lyon. And that just about sums up his Arsenal career. So there you go. Another player history on next week's Arscast. It'll be somebody good next week. Promise.
The man in the bar will, of course, have another player history on next week's Arscast. You know, every week I have to go and decide when there's a player history. And I think of, have I done that one? No, I haven't done that one. And just last week I did one and then checked it out. I'd already done one for that player. I can't remember who it was. It could have been Kanu. I don't know. But I'd done the whole thing and I was quite convinced I hadn't done one. So if you've got any suggestions or if you would like me to feature a certain player in the player history, or the man in the bar, rather, to feature a certain player, because, yeah, well, you know, you can email arscast@arsblog.com. That is arscast@arsblog.com. So what else has been going on this week? This could be a short arscast, by the way. Could be. Eduardo gave his first interview to Croatian television, denied categorically that he had spoken to the News of the World. Imagine such an august journal as the News of the World making up an interview with a player. I'm shocked and more than a little saddened that a newspaper with such a reputation for integrity and honesty could do something like that. Sort of shatters your faith in the press a little bit, I have to say. He also refused to talk about Martin Taylor in the interview to the Croatian TV people. He said to them, don't ask me any questions about Martin Taylor. But what they did then was the guy on that was presenting the show said, yeah, he asked us not to ask him any questions about Martin Taylor, but he did say that Martin Taylor did not come to visit him in hospital to apologise. Which is unusual. Strange. So it's got people thinking, well, did Taylor go or did he not go? There are quotes from Taylor saying, yeah, it was difficult because of the language barrier, etc., etc. Is this Croatian television trying to stir a bit of shit? Why would Martin Taylor say he went to see him when he didn't, when it would be so obvious for someone to turn around afterwards and say, oh, he didn't? So strange. I'm a little bit suspicious about that part of the information, though. The rest of it, though, I suppose he's going back to Brazil to begin his recuperation, which is as good a place as any, isn't it, to go and recuperate for a while. I could certainly recuperate for a couple of months on Copacabana Beach drinking caipirinhas. I could. He spoke about the challenge, etc., etc., and I suppose he's just going to concentrate on getting fit and well again, so all the very best to him. There wasn't really much else going on in the week, obviously. There was the Milan game, of course, and the feedback from the Villa game, so we've done all that, really. So how about a little bit of culture? Yes? Yes? Okay.
This is the S Blood Culture Corner. Get it into you giddy bag.
Welcome to the Ozblog Culture Corner, where we provide you Philistines with a taste of something vibrant and enlightened in your otherwise culturally bereft worlds. What soothes the soul quite like music? Perhaps some kind of balm or potion. But without music, how can one apply it? Short of dying, then capturing the soul in a jar, smearing it with said unction, then reanimating the corpse. It seems to be a rather unfeasible solution. Yet so much of music and rhythm is in all of us. Who could not have been swayed by the great musical interludes of our time, like Wakefield's Saturday Night? Da-da-da-da, da-di-di-di-di-da-da-da. Indeed. Today, Emanuele Bue, in that wonderful, rich baritone of his, sings to us from his favorite song. You may begin.
We've already said goodbye. Since you gotta go, oh, you better go now. Go now, go now, before you see a boy cry.
If he played for Leicester City, he could truly be a Moody Blue.
That was the S Blood Culture Corner. Come back for more next week, you muppet.
More culture on another Arscast in the very near future. Now, coming up on Sunday, we've got a game against Wigan on a pitch which apparently resembles a ploughed field. Not good for our slick passing, not good for our brittle players either, and we've got some injury problems again going into this game. Leaving aside how much we have to focus and concentrate on this particular game, put Milan behind us and just get on with the business of winning league games, and remember that if we win this game on Sunday, we'll go 4 points clear at the top of the table, because Manchester United are playing in the FA Cup at the weekend. So they'll still have a game in hand, but we'll have the points on the board, and perhaps those 4 points might just put a little bit of pressure on them. You never know, so it is absolutely vital. As I said, though, not helped by injuries, new injuries. Theo Walcott took part in a behind-closed-doors game against the Colorado Rapids yesterday, and after the game complained of a thigh injury. It looks like he's going to miss out. Danielson apparently picked up a hamstring injury as well after just a few minutes. He could be out for a few weeks, as well as that Abu Diaby. He picked up an injury against AC Milan on Tuesday night, so he's going to miss out as well. Add to them the long-term absentees, Kolo Touré, Thomas Rosicki, who Arsene Wenger hopes to have back within 10 to 12 days, he says. 10 to 12 days? He's been out for ages. I like Rosicki. I think when he's on the pitch, he can be a good player. But I would really, really, really start to consider his future at the club now, because he just can never stay fit. Plays four or five games and he misses six or seven. And that cycle just repeats itself over and over and over again. You try and get him fit, you get him fit, he plays a few games and he's injured again. So I would really start to question his viability, his usefulness to the club. You can't rely on him. You can't say, right, I'm going to be, you know, this guy's going to be part of my team week in, week out. So, I don't know. You'd have to worry. You'd have to worry about Rosicki. As I said, Colo's out. Alex Song is still out as well. And lest we forget, Emmanuel Eboué.
Now it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Eboué. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Eboué. Eboué like wine. Top three Eboué wine. Number one, Chateau Neuf de Pape. Eboué always put in Eboué best decanter. Number two, Eboué like Ribera del Duero. Is Spanish, like Eboué Big Pal Almunia. Number three Eboué wine, Jack Russell. Sad dog make a boy cry. You go now.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Eboué. Oh, baby.
We'll be serving the final game of his three-match ban for the red card he picked up against Manchester United in the FA Cup. So chances are, if you bring your boots along on Sunday to the JJB, you could well get a game. That's how short of players we are. I suppose we're going to see some of the youngsters on the bench as an attacking threat. Who have we got? The one good news, or the one piece of good news, is that Robin van Persie, in the same game where everybody else got injured, managed to come through 60 minutes without feeling the effects of his injury. So maybe things are looking up a bit. Arsene Wenger feels he might be just a little too short to start the game. But to have him back now, when everybody else is dropping like flies, will be just marvellous. Marvellous. And then we can have three games, and then he'll get injured again. And then I may have to cry, you know. Anyway, fingers crossed we can cobble enough players together to give Wigan a game and give them a good sound thrashing as well. Not just a game. Get any old 11 to give them a game. We want to beat these guys and end up 4 points clear at the top of the table. So that's really about it. I think next week there could be a competition on the site where you can win yourself a cool 80s shirt from Tofts. But I'll give you more details of that on the blog, so do tune in for that. So until next week's Arsecast, take it easy, have yourselves a good weekend, make sure you drink too much, eat too much, and lie around on the couch scratching your arse too much, because that's what weekends are for. Until then, take it easy, talk to you all next week on the blog. Bye bye.
Arsenal Football Club today announced a brand new signing, but this time it's in the back room. Dr. Harold Shipman will be on board to take care of the Arsenal players and ensure they don't spend much time out injured. Chairman Peter Hillwood said,
"We're very much looking forward to having him as part of the Arsenal family."
Shipman says he can't wait to put Rosicki and Van Persie out of their injury misery.